Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Now it looks as though they're here.
Well, the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Yes, Ron?
No, go ahead.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen.
They met yesterday.
They did, and their troubles have not gone away. They really haven't. Oh, they're still dealing with the circus. But I feel we got a letter from John in St. Louis.
John?
It's a handwritten letter from John in St. Louis.
Well,
it was addressed to Amy, Chris, John, and Michael. I'm going to read it. It'll be our jumping off point for our Board of Aldermen discussion.
Are you going to point out grammatical errors?
There aren't any. It's actually pretty well
written.
And he has a masterful command of the English language.
Nice. Oh, lovely.
Dear Amy, Chris, John, and Michael, when the St. Louis Brain Trust is allocating the substantial Rams funds and match, they are forgetting to put anything in the largest category. Namely, graft, corruption, bribes, and waste. The people involved have neither the experience nor knowledge to manage projects of this magnitude. The results are going to be totally foobar. Sincerely, John. So, bring that up because I do think his cynicism, not necessarily the graft and corruption, but I do think his cynicism is felt across the city. Speaking of corruption, I will say that the attorney Hal Goldsmith was in attendance at one of the most recent Board of Aldermen meetings. And he, of course, it was the attorney who, the federal prosecutor, who put three Board of Aldermen, former Board of Aldermen, in federal prison. So, jumping off from John's letter, how do you feel about, what's your response to his letter?
I don't have to talk about the federal prosecutor. I'd prefer not to. I think his letter is probably an accurate reflection of where most of us are who've paid attention, and even those who've been peripherally paying attention feel that that's kind of what's going on in the city of St. Louis. And I think, you know, I think it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek about corruption, etc. But he does point out in that letter that, you know, this is an organization that seems to be able to find a way to take care of itself but can't do the basics. And I think that's the sentiment that exists. As it relates to the federal prosecutor being at, or the federal investigator being at the Board of Aldermen, I can't recall any other time in my life where a federal investigator has been, and that wasn't by accident that he was spotted in the gallery. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a lowly FBI person. This is Hal Goldsmith. I mean, I just saw him immediately and walked the other way if I was there. I'm kidding. But but at the end of the day, I guess there was a statement being made. Whether or not that statement was to the local Board of Aldermen or whether it was to the federal administration, I don't know. I've never seen them in a meeting like that before. Have you?
No. You know, and there's always rumors in politics. You know, you hear every 2 or 3 years that the FBI is walking the halls of the state capitol. And so who knows? But I'd like us to pretend for a minute. Can we pretend?
I love pretending.
Because Tula and I, we pretend all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Should we get under the blanket?
No. But not with you, buddy. But let's pretend we had serious, effective leadership in this city, okay? The mayor, the Board of Aldermen, people who are good at what they do, who have a wealth of knowledge, who have forged relationships throughout the community with all walks of life, including business leaders. This city could truly be transformed if that situation existed. And everything that's playing out in front of us right now underscores the fact that it's broken here and it's not getting better and it is getting worse. Fewer and fewer people are living here. It doesn't have to be this way. And this is a city that is a great city with a rich history with many, many, many assets to it. that it wouldn't take that much to begin to infuse some confidence and trust and optimism in this community. And it's just regrettable to me that we're not there.
Yeah. I would add to that, I think there also needs to be an acceptance of the reality of where we are. I think far too often we as St. Louisans have this belief system that St. Louis is maybe a little bit larger than it is and that its predicament is not necessarily what we perceive it to be. And I think John's right. I think all the tools are here for us to make things work. But we've got to kind of accept that, like, we've got to get back to doing the stuff that's going to make St. Louis attractive. We can't solve some of these other things that we're looking at doing. I'm grateful they're not spending this money, you guys, because I just it seems to me it would be smarter to be having this money being there to attract business than some of the stuff that they're talking about doing with it. And
daycare.
So, yeah, like daycare. I mean, I'm hopeful that there's going to be a reset after April when we'll get some fresh legislation and we're going to deal with the problems. I don't know how you can have a $400 million, $300 million pile of money in St. Louis City specifically and not a dime of it is going to public safety. Not a dime of it was going to be considered to go to public safety. How can that be? This is our brand, unfortunately, crime. Even if they don't believe it to be true, we have to push back at it and find a way to paint that narrative the other way, and ignoring it, not accepting our reality is not going to help.
Wherever there's poverty, there's going to be crime. So, but look at New Orleans. The crime rate in New Orleans is not appreciably different than the crime rate in St. Louis. Certainly, if you take the St. Louis metropolitan area, it's no different. There's a lot of crime in New Orleans, a lot of poverty in New Orleans, but New Orleans has the Super Bowl for the seventh time?
11th
time. And people flock to it, and it's a destination.
They get Final Fours. They get Sugar Bowls every year.
Yeah. It's a river town. You know, a little better climate, but, I mean, essentially it's got a wealth and rich musical heritage. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason St. Louis could not flourish. And we do some things so well. We do Mardi Gras so well.
Right. Soulard feels like New Orleans,
yeah.
Even when even when it's not Mardi Gras, you feel that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm optimistic that things could change, but they're not changing in the short term.
It's devil's advocate because I've heard this argument, I believe, from the mayor, but from city leaders, that, well, you can't use the settlement money because it's one-time money or ARPA funds, and how are you supposed to keep paying police officers or paying dispatchers with a one-time sum?
Yeah, no, and that's a legitimate point.
Well, was daycare only going to be for a year?
Right, exactly.
That's a great point. That also is an ongoing payment.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, something I would advocate, when you look at police compensation, for example, the longer you're on the force, the more money you make. The longer you're on the force, the less time you're in the streets, typically. And some decent percentage of any police department are going to be desk jobs, people that are working in offices and aren't necessarily patrolling the street. They're the ones that make the most money. So what they've done in Hawaii, and I think it's a brilliant idea, is that they compensate their street-level officers with what they call hazard pay. So it's not on the pay scale, but it's an addition to the money that they're being paid now. That seems to make some sense to me. And it would also incent people joining a police force because they're going to be compensated at a very respectable level. Something like that, you know, could be very helpful in this town.
A text message into the show at 314-436-7900 says a city-county merger would be the first step to being a world-class city. Do you believe that?
Yeah, but I do think we ought to be, St. Louis ought to be St. Louis, and it ought to be a city of 1.2 million people, be the 10th or 11th largest city in the country. But there's no stomach for it right now. And while the dysfunction, and there's dysfunction in the city and the county, at least in the government sector, you're not gonna convince people or the majority of people in St. Louis that we're better off together. I don't think most people believe that right now. You've got to fix the structural problems that exist with the government. You got to have the right leaders in place. You got to get things moving in a positive direction. You've got to have a city that's solvent. When those things are in place, then I do think that's a natural progression of things, and I do think it would help.
Well, do you know, I think this, and you guys can disagree or agree with it, my feeling is that we would start to move in that direction, maybe more quickly, if people in the county had actual skin in the game.
Well,
as opposed to it just being, well, I care about downtown St. Louis and the St. Louis city because we're close to it. If there's actual skin in the game and they get a say in what happens in St. Louis government, things might change very quickly.
Well, I'm going to go back to my original point, is that we also have to accept the reality of where we're at. And the biggest problem we have, this is the third time in my professional career that I've gone through this exercise of, we need to merge the city and the county. The most glaring example being Better Together, because there was real money and resources behind it. But there was a Board of Freeholders effort, and now this discussion's happening again. And undoubtedly, I mean, the Better Together and the city-county stuff, it there's proof in concept. It's in Indianapolis. It's in Louisville.
The
cities that were just like us have resolved it. Unfortunately, Chris, I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. It's not going to be done. And the problem is on both sides. It's both a city problem and a county problem. You have a city that needs to accept its reality and that it needs help, and you have a county that needs to accept that they need that city. And right now, I'm telling you right now, in the blood of St. Louisans, the desire to keep Webster and Florissant and Warson Woods is stronger than the desire to see St. Louis grow as a region. And it's going to require us all letting down some guards. And for that matter, our friends on the other side of the river in St. Charles, too, need to get to their senses and realize they don't exist without St. Louis City and County.
Which I think Steve Ellman, to his credit, has said that.
Yep.
He's trying to bring recognition to that. He said, you may think St. Charles is fine. And he said, no, if the city is struggling, St. Charles will struggle. And we're already beginning to see that.
Yep.
Yeah, but the lack of desire to bring us all together in this, it's self-inflicted.
And it's the people.
It's holding us back, no doubt.
It is regular people.
No doubt.
And if you threw open the phone lines right now about a city-county merger, the stuff that you would hear would turn your stomach. And until we get past all that and accept where we're at, this is what we're going to do.